Former Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens wrote in an essay for the New York Times published today that the Second Amendment should be repealed. He believes the teens who held last weekend's March for Our Lives events should be even more ambitious than just calling for deeper background checks for gun buyers. He says they should be pushing for the Second Amendment to go away, calling it, quote, a relic of the 18th century. Historian and author Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz wrote about the history of the Second Amendment in her new book, Loaded, A Disarming History of the Second Amendment, and she'll be at Changing Hands Bookstore in Tempe tonight, and she's with me now. Roxanne, how important do you think the gun-related activism of kids and young people is right now, and how does our current environment relate to the U.S. history with guns?
Well, I'm very encouraged that there's that the high school students, it's a sort of perfect storm in terms of producing activism of that very wealthy school district with very articulate and highly educated young students, with liberal parents also highly educated supporting them. And it was sort of like their privilege. They said, this isn't supposed to happen here. So they're really angry. It's also beautifully infectious all over the country. But I don't think it will lead to any gun control, because the NRA is appropriately targeted for being a main component of the proliferation of guns. And what may come out, rather than any kind of gun control, is more guns, more police, more guns, arming teachers. So it's a kind of double-edged sword, you know, to even ask for gun change, because it's more likely to go the other way. You know, I'm a historian, and this book is about how that has come about, how gun culture, but also the Second Amendment itself, is based on, you know, the right and responsibility of white male settlers to kill Indians and take their land and appropriate it, and then also for slave patrols. And that's precisely what it's for. So it has that white nationalist racist element in it that is also appearing now, and it's kind of made invisible by not dealing with that history and what's actually occurring.
Do you feel like there are people, when you mentioned the NRA, who have co-opted the Second Amendment for their own purposes, or do you think, based on what you said, that the Second Amendment in and of itself was troublesome based on how it was created?
I think they're interpreting it exactly the way it was created. I think they are, you know, they are the extension of James Madison and Thomas Jefferson, what they had in mind when, and they know it. They know that they're the authentic ones carrying that. They didn't have to. No one had to, as long as everything was locked down as a, you know, the White Republic and Jim Crow was in effect and Indians on reservations and everyone quiet and obedient.
What is your experience actually with guns yourself? I mean, you had a little bit, you have a little bit of a history with it. How did you get involved in that, and how did it make you feel to actually be, did it help you understand even more what was going on, or did you feel like you had great knowledge even before that?
Yeah, it's the other piece of it. I didn't really, because I tell, the book isn't a memoir, but I open with this story of my own relationship with guns. You sort of should reveal where you're coming from. And I definitely came from gun culture, Scots-Irish settler father's family, and under segregation in rural Oklahoma. So the guns in the house, my mother is part Indian, and a lot of mystery in her background, and I'm sure a lot of violence experiences that she never talked about, but she hated guns. And of course, my dad and my two brothers and everyone else, and including the women, you know, women also had guns, they're good pioneer women. My mother feared them, hated them. So my sister and I, she wouldn't let my dad let us, you know, touch a gun at all. And there were lots of fights about guns. And I was the youngest, and I remember being terrified of guns, and terrified every time I saw my father and my brothers, you know, cleaning their guns.
And then, Roxanne, a number of years later, in the late 60s, I believe it was, you became an activist of sorts, and you had a different experience with guns, actually a personal experience with guns that didn't have to do with your family. What happened there?
I was in New Orleans, so it was such a gun culture that it was just seemed kind of natural that when we started getting hate mail and threats after some of us went to Cuba on the Vincent Ramos Brigade in 1970, we started getting these Cuban dissidents who did, you know, shoot up and blow up things. These exiles, right-wing exiles from Bay of Pigs time that were still active, they threatened us. And then the Ku Klux Klan, David Duke had just come down and reorganized the Ku Klux Klan. He was calling us and going to burn our house down. We were in this, you know, wooden house that didn't even have very good locks on it. So we started getting guns, you know, to guard the place, to have, you know, have sentry duty, and we joined the NRA just, you know, to kind of legitimate what we were doing. But actually, there were no gun restrictions or gun laws at all. One thing led to another until we found ourselves actually more like a gun club than a what we started out as, a women's study group.
Okay.
And organizing, you know, conferences for women's liberation and organizing throughout the South. And so I think the gun fetish is, you know, it's a unique object. It's you put a gun in someone's head and they have the power of life and death. It's made only for killing. And it is empowering. There's no doubt about it. It is empowering. But it's a false empowering because it's not made for self-defense. It's made for aggression.
Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz is the author of Loaded, A Disarming History of the Second Amendment. She'll be at Changing Hands Bookstore in Tempe tonight at 7.